It is Free Radio. I'm Adam Wilborn. Very pleased to welcome back Connor Maynard. Hello.
Woo, yes. Okay, guys, don't clap too loud. Yeah, thanks. That's right. What's going on, man? You good?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yes, I'm all good. I'm
just
all
working
good.
Out the last time I saw you, which was at Free Radio Live, not last November, the November before
it
that.
It's been literally too long. It's been emotional.
It's been ages.
Yeah, I'm getting emotional right now.
So how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been good. I've been, well, tried to grow a beard. That didn't work. So I'm giving up on that one. Maybe third album. But I've just been working on the album, trying to make it perfect, trying to make it, you know, I didn't want to be kind of one of those, in that situation where you're relentlessly trying to release music, you know, desperate attempt to stay relevant. I wanted to kind of almost, you know, really have a chance to step back, work out exactly what I wanted this album to sound like, exactly what I wanted to put across. And yeah, I've just been, yeah, making sure that it's all good. And now I feel like I'm ready for people to, well, almost ready for people to hear the whole album. So yeah, that's what we're back with there.
Really excited to hear it. It's going to be amazing. And
yes.
You are back, and you've not just brought yourself back. You are back with Craig David.
Yeah, the boy, Craig David. Craig, if you're out there, big shout. No, I'm joking.
So how on earth did that come about then?
So, right, it all started when I was 10 years old. Right. This sounds weird.
Connor, you will be. No.
Yeah, basically, when I was about 10, my dad bought kind of, I say it was like the family, well, he called it the family CD Walkman, because actually, to be fair, it was actually his. He just wanted to shut us up because we wanted one as well. Anyway, so yeah, he bought the Craig David album, Slicker Than Your Average, which was his second album. And I would sit there listening to it all the time. So I was a big Craig David fan growing up. I absolutely loved his music. And I got a bit older, like 15, 16. I started listening to his old, you know, Fill Me In, his older tracks. And Fill Me In for me now is like top five tracks of all time. And so I was always a big fan of Craig David. Anyway, so recently I was in the studio with my manager and we're sitting there, we're thinking, oh, you know, we need that one song to come back with. We've got almost, the album's almost ready, but we haven't got that one song to kind of come back with, you know, in your face, we're back, this is it. And then we got an email from these producers called Mojam. We're like, oh, you know, hey, we've written this song with Craig David for Connor. We think you'd love it. Well, we were like, okay, let's hear it. So we played it and we were like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the one. I was within like 2 days, I was in the studio recording it. And there was one line that we couldn't quite make out what Craig had sung over it. And we were like, what does he say? So the producer sent a text to Craig David. You know, I mean, like, yo, man, we can't hear what you're saying in this bit. Do you remember? And he basically sent back a voice note of him singing it much more clearly. And I like fangirled in that moment.
Like, wow.
I think a little bit of wee came out. I was literally like, oh my goodness, it's Craig singing for me right now. So it was pretty special. But once we'd finished it, it was like, this is it. So that's why we came back with this song.
And he pops up in the video as well. So
he does.
You met him.
Yeah, I lent him my car, my Lambo basically, well, obviously the idea was me hitchhiking, and then we were shooting it in Miami, which is where he lives. So we thought, you know, why not get his little...
If you're around, Craig.
Craig, if you're around with your Lamborghini, bring it along. let me please take a ride in it, please. I just want to touch it. Even if you don't let me in it, just let me touch it, please. But he was really, really cool. Like, it was actually really funny. We went to his apartment the night before.
Nice.
And it was literally like five of us, but he still started DJing for us. he was even taking requests for like what song we wanted next. And I think he was almost ready for a party that night, and he kind of forgot that even though his call time was 3 p.m. for the video the next day for his little cameo, and mine was 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't think I'm going to stay for much longer. So
yeah, loving the cheese, but I think I need to go and go to bed now for a bit.
Yeah, I know.
Fair enough.
Exactly.
So when you met him, were you a bit of a fangirl as
I
well?
I was very starstruck. But the thing is, he's ripped now. Like, he's
ridiculous.
I didn't know whether he was going to sing or beat me up. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen, but... I definitely fangirled. It was such a weird, surreal moment meeting him, because it was like, I've worked with some incredible people, but I feel like Craig David, one of those people I genuinely like, I used to listen to his albums, I used to love his music, and like to kind of meet him and be like, oh my goodness, like you wrote those songs in like a garage somewhere. Like, I remember he was telling me about his first album. I kind of asked him, did you know it was going to sell like 7 million copies or whatever it was? Did you know you had an album that was going to do that well? And he was like, I think... Obviously, he was told. People were turning around and saying, you know, this is really good. But the fact that he wrote it in some like little tiny room with like this producer, he pretty much did it all with one producer. And it was all amazing. So I think I definitely look up to him as an artist. I think he absolutely smashed it back in the day. So yeah.
And seeing him, as you say, seeing him in person and seeing how ripped he is. Did this sort of influence you? Because I've read somewhere you've got some sort of self-imposed ban. You're trying to be all good now. You're not drinking Coca-Cola. You're doing stuff like that.
Well, it's for Lent.
Is that what you're doing it for?
Yeah, I did for Lent. So I'm basically only drinking water.
Good.
For the whole of Lent, as you can see, my glass of water.
Yeah,
a glass of Guinness,
good.
Right?
Yes.
but I did break the rule. Because I went to, I don't know if you heard, but the Harry Potter Studios.
I saw this picture of you.
They launched the new Hogwarts Express section, and I had to have a butterbeer.
Yeah,
I
had a butterbeer.
And it was an awkward moment because it's like, oh, do I, don't I? But I felt like, you know, I'm never going to get it anywhere else. Like, where else sells butterbeer? So I had to have one, so...
I think magical drinks are allowed over Lent.
I think so. Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
I'm very impressed by that because I could not ban myself from doing it. At Lent, I just don't bother
it's
with weird. Anything.
It's not as hard as I thought it would be. I feel like at first it was very difficult. I just wanted Coca-Cola or whatever. I wanted something other than water. But now, I don't know, I've kind of become quite used to it. And almost when I drank the butterbeer, it was a bit like, I don't know, I don't feel like I've missed much. I feel like I could go back to water now, but I don't know. I don't know. Then again, I suppose as soon as I drink like a Coke or something, I will be like, yeah, okay, back to square one.
Don't become one of those preachy workout guys. Like, come on, bro, do you even lift, bro?
Like Craig David.
Yeah. No, I can see where you're coming from with that sort of thing. You mentioned the Hogwarts Express thing, yeah, because I saw this picture on your Twitter and on your Facebook. You got to go along to the launch of the Hogwarts Express.
I saw you could be a triplet, to be honest. Fred and George.
they've been in here.
Have they?
And everyone just goes, go on, get a picture of them. Go on. They've got brown hair. So
yeah,
I'm
I know,
like,
it's weird because
I'm the real
ginger.
One here. Yeah,
I'm the real Weasley.
So, what was that like then? Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
I am. Yeah, I'm definitely a Potterhead, as they say. But I had like the Deathly Hallows necklace. I have one of those. My girlfriend's like a huge fan, like a huge Harry Potter fan. So, I took her along with me as well, and it was quite awkward actually because it was like she wanted a picture with all the cast members and all that like, their male. And I was getting a bit like. Okay, it's getting a bit weird. She was like, oh my God, because she saw the twins, Fred George, and she was like, oh, you know, like, I want to get a picture where like, I'm like sandwiched in the middle. And I was like, what?
I'll be sandwiched in there with you.
Yeah, no. I'll be right in there. Yeah, Connor. Yeah, literally, I don't know. But it was very awkward. It was, but you know, I took it as it comes. You know, I feel like it's the same thing because obviously, then again, there are girls that would like a picture with me, and I thought I'm going to lap it up way more this time, though.
Yeah,
come on, girls, make a corn sandwich. Yeah, woo!
Just shouting out in front of us. So who else wants a photo of me? Huh?
exactly.
So you, like me, sort of grew up with these Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
If you would align yourself with one group, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, who would you say you would fit into best?
Oh, it's got to be Gryffindor.
Yeah.
It's got to be Gryffindor.
I think I'm Hufflepuff because they're just not really mentioned, a bit pathetic, no one really cares about them. They don't do anything.
It's a really sad view on yourself, really.
But everyone wants to be Gryffindor, don't they?
It's got to be
Slytherin.
Gryffindor.
Slytherin, you were sort of...
Well, it's really weird because I remember I got to like the gift shop at the end. And, like, each one has got, like, a word. Gryffindor was, like, the brave. And, like, Hufflepuff was the loyal. Ravenclaw was, I think they were it was something like the clever or the smart.
I think Hufflepuff should be making up the numbers, but still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The in-betweeners.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Slytherins, it was, like, they were these words. I wonder what Slytherin... And theirs was, what was it, the shrewd. I was like...
That just means that they're, like, tight with money, isn't it? I don't know.
I don't really know what that meant.
Like, really evil.
How's that word to, like... I think they should have been the cunning. I think that's what it's almost like it's still good, but it can be evil as well.
Yeah, you've got to watch them.
Yeah, exactly. So shrewd.
Obviously, we've mentioned my connection with the Weasleys. I can relate a lot to Ron, I suppose. Like you say, ginger hair, sort of terrified, always pulling weird faces, and punching well above my weight with my girlfriend. Yeah. So who would you relate to most out of the whole cast?
Dobby.
Dobby!
Especially when I was at school, because I was always like a good foot smaller than everyone else. So, even actually, especially doing this interview with you, I feel like, I'm sitting down and you're standing up. But even standing up, I feel like a good foot smaller than anyone else. So I feel like, especially when I was at school, I was the Dobby. The annoying, small one that no one wanted to talk to.
Stealing other people's socks.
Yeah, no one wanted me around. That kind of guy, yeah. I was Dobby. That's probably my one,
That's spot on. That's amazing.